I thought it made sense, since we are learning sugyas relating to Tumah v'Tahara, to speak about Chanukah both tonight and hopefully, please God, next week, because there's a lot of Tumah v'Tahara relating to Chanukah. The fact that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, the Nes of the Pach Shemen, was that the Chashmonaim come into Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara describes, and when they are there, they enter, all of the Shemen is considered to be Tameh. They find one Pach, one jug of Shemen, which is Tahor, and that one jug, which should have lasted for one day, ends up lasting for 8 days. Unsurprisingly, there are a variety of questions that relate to the world of Tumah v'Tahara that emerge based on this Gemara. Whereas perhaps the most well-known question is noted by the Pnei Yeshua, we will decidedly not speak about that at all, which is the topic of Tumah Hutra and Duchiyah B'Tzibor, that why do they need to rely on this Kula? Why could they use it anyway if Klal Yisrael is predominantly Tameh? Doesn't the Gemara tell us in Psachim and Yuma and other places that you're allowed to offer karbanos, you're allowed to do avoda if most of Klal Yisrael is Tameh? And there are a lot of answers that get offered. Typically, the ones that don't relate to Tumah v'Tahara get the most press as far as when you're starting off something anew, it has to be lechatchila or other kinds of ideas like that. That's not what we're doing here. That's not what we do in the Tikkur slot. I'd like to speak about a minimum one question tonight and hopefully a second question. The most basic question I'd love to talk about tonight is, how did the Shemen become Tameh? How did it become Tameh? We know there's something called, we know that food and drink, liquid can become Tameh. We know Shemen can become Tameh. That much we know. But how did it become Tameh? What is odd about it becoming Tameh? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Nazir on Daf Samech Aleph that non-Jews do not become Tameh d'oraisa when they're walking around and they're alive. Non-Jews don't become Tameh. Only Jews who are alive can become Tameh. Maybe a non-Jew passed away can become Tameh. But non-Jews who are alive, minolan de leslehu tuma, they don't really have tuma. Rak misha yeshlo kahal, yata zesha ein lo kahal. The Gemara in one place in Nazir and Daf Samech Aleph, only if you're able to marry into the Jewish people, you're a Jew, then you can become tameh when you're alive. So how did it become tameh? The non-Jews can't make it tameh. They don't become tameh when they're alive, mida oraisa. Lest you want to claim that there is a Gemara in Meseches Nida, it's a Gemara in Meseches Shabbos and other places as well, that Chazal made a Gezeira that all non-Jews are considered to be Tameh. We give them on a Durabanan level the status of what's called Tumah Zav. If a Jew has a certain kind of emission, and that kind of emission is not the same thing as a Keri, it may be for some Rishonim, beginning in Meseches Makos, it may be somewhat of a Choli, at least depending on how you learn, like Rashi and Makos or the Rambam, lots of things to talk about. But there is a, Zav, a man, he becomes Tameh Mid Oraisa. And Chazal said, we're going to make a Gezerah. We're going to establish that non-Jews are also Tameh, like a Zav. And this is what the Rambam writes in Chos Tumas Meis, Umi Divrei Sofrim, Shiva Akam, Kezav, and Lechol Divreyem. We treat non-Jews like a Tumas Zav. Maybe that's how they made a Tameh. However, as noted by some of the Achronim, that Gezeira Dirabanan seems to only come post the time of the Chashmonaim. During the time of the Chashmonaim, it does not appear that Gezeira was as of yet established. Therefore, wonder many of the Achronim, but implicitly many of the Rishonim, how did the Shemen become Tameh? That's going to be the first question that we'll deal with tonight. We'll speak about a couple of different perspectives. But again, a lot of the starting point is that a non-Jew, so long as he's alive, non-Jew cannot be metame something. If he touches a dead body and touches something else, that thing is he cannot impart tumah, nor does he really become tumah. So what exactly kind of tumah are we talking about here with the shemen becoming tumah? How exactly does it work? So we'll develop, I hope, three or so different mahalchim, and we'll try to go from there. The first mahalach is a very interesting one. Rashi writes in Masechet Shabbos, how come that one pach, how come that one jug didn't become Tameh? So Rashi says it was hidden, and they could tell, based on its covering, shelo nagubo, that no one touched it. Now, there are different ways that Tumah gets transferred. Tumah can get transferred, as an example, Tumah's ohel. If I go on top of Tumah, underneath Tumah, or in the same room as Tumah, I can become Tameh. That's one kind of way Tumah is transferred. Tuma could also be transferred sometimes by carrying an item even without directly touching it. Tumas maga is where there's direct contact. So what I see from Rashi, at least, is that however it was tame through direct contact of the Yevanim and those items. That's what seems to be. So what's the tumah that we're talking about? So Tosfos writes there in Shabbos. I think it's not the most famous Tosfos there in Shabbos, Chaf Alf Mabez, in the Chanukah Sugyas. Tosfos says, it must be that the pshat is that Kvar Gazru al Hanachim li Yos Kizavim. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe there already was a Gezerah to treat non-Jews like Zavim, to treat non-Jews as being Tameh, and therefore anything they touch becomes Tameh. And this is a case where you could tell the Kli was never moved or it was never really carried. In that sense, that's the opinion of many Rishonim, that the non-Jews touched it and it became Tameh. And because they touched it, it would be Tumah Midurabban, and we had that kind of a gzeira. The Ran in Mesech HaShabbos assumes like that also. He suggests that why exactly would they have been touching all of these different jugs there in the Mikdash? What were they doing, the non-Jews, when they were being Tameh it? So he writes, they saw jugs, and they figured maybe inside these jugs there is Zahav, maybe there's gold, maybe there are precious jewels. That's what you would store in those jugs. So that they would pick up all those jugs, they'd pick it up. That would make it Tameh because they were a Zav when they saw it wasn't that. And then this one, Pach Shemen, is the one that was hidden in a place where we could tell they never actually touched it. The Chiddush of this day, there's really two Chiddushim. One is that, fascinatingly enough, the Shemen is likely only Tameh, but Tumah Midurabanan. But number two, this gezeira to treat all non-Jews, even when they're alive, as being Tameh, predated the time of the Chashmonaim. The Pre-Chadash and Shulchan Aruch, some of the Mepharshim start talking about, does it really sound like that? There may have been stages of a gezeira. One was the first treat, an early gezeira, was to treat the non-Jews as Zavim, as far as touching anything that was Kadosh. We know that we're extra sensitive to Tumah in Inyani Hektish, and maybe that was an earlier Gezerah, but somehow there was some sort of a Gezerah. That's Mahalach number one. Mahalach number two, some suggest, is based on a Rambam. When the Rambam describes the story of the Megillah, the Rambam begins Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, talking about the story of Chanukah. As many point out, that's an odd thing, which happens sometimes in Rambam, where he gives us stories, like the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the story of Avraham Avinu. Sometimes the Rambam gives us some story. This is one of the places. Why is not for now. The Rambam there, in describing what happens, he says, Kishemalchus Yavan Gazru Gezeras al Yisrael. They had certain Gezeras. They wouldn't let us keep Torah mitvos well. Upashtu Yadam b'mimonim uvenoseham. They took our money. They took our women. V'nichnesu lehechal. They went inside the hechal. Upirtu bopirtos. Something inappropriate. What that means, I don't know for now. V'timu hataros. They went and they were mitame everything that was tahor. It sounds in Rambam that they were proactively trying to be mitame. Meaning, it's not like the Ran thought. They were picking up these things to look, is there money inside? Oh, memela there is of, it's tame. But rather, it seems like they were proactively trying to be mitame it. Okay, if you're proactively trying to mitame it, so how exactly were you mitame it? Maybe, again, who says the gzeira really applied? So the pre-megadim in Shulchan Aruch says something, it was really intentional. You know what they did? This is Yavan. Umikomakom yeshlomar, shetimu hashmanim, shenagu b'sheretz v'nevela b'shmanim. They walked in holding dead animal carcasses. They walked in holding shratzim. And they proactively went to be metame, everything they can be metame, meaning it was part of their gezeira to uproot our commitment to Torah and mitzvos, was that they proactively went in order to generate tumah. They proactively went in order to be metame everything that they could. So one mahalach was that non-Jews of the status, even though mida oraisa, they can't be metame as long as they're alive. Because again, we know this is true by the first week. Tumah and Kedusha, Zelu Umazeh Asa Elokim, as the Kuzari pointed out, because non-Jews lack Kedusha Sisrael, they also lack the capacity to become Tameh in that way. Even when they pass away, they probably don't have too much Ohel for many days. They're somewhat lacking in that sense. So Chazal were gozer to mezavim on them, and therefore when they touched it, they were metami it that way, or the primigadim, which may be pshat, some think in Rambam, that they proactively came and they were metami it. There is a third mahalich, which is a fascinating mahalich in many ways. There are a couple different ways of saying it, but we'll start like this. The Mishnah in Maseches Midos describes the different areas of the Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah describes the different areas and tells us that in one of the areas, there was a place where they would store the shemen. It was called Abishal Omer. It was called Nikres Lishkas Beis Shmaneha. It was a certain place where they would keep the oil that was there. When the Yavan came in, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Beis tells us when they came in, Mizrachis Tzfonis Ba Gunzu Beis Chasponayis Avnei HaMizbeach Sheshaktu Anse Yavan V'Am Rav Sheshaktu LaAvodas Kochavim. When Yavan came into the Mikdash, they brought Avodah Zarah there. What they were trying to do was to bring Avodah Zarah there. They brought actual Avodah Zarah and they worshipped Avodah Zarah with different items that were there. The idea of Avodah Zarah, so Avodah Zarah may have the capacity to generate tumah. That's a Gemara in Maseches Chulin and Daf Yud Gimel, that Avodah Zarah can generate tumah. Tikroves Avodah Zarah, items that are used in the worship of Avodah Zarah, can generate tumah. Says the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that Avodah Zarah can create tumah in something which is called tumas ohel. Normally, we associate tumas ohel with a mace. When a dead body passes away, so again, Tumas Ohel means, if I go on top of the dead body, like you fly an airplane over a Beit HaKvaros, if you go below a dead body, or if you're in the same room as a dead body, like potentially flying on the same plane, if you're a Kohen as a dead body, again, ways of working this out, maybe, maybe not. So then there's Tumas Ohel, anyone in the room. That phenomenon exists potentially in a couple other places as well. It may exist in the context of Sara'as, in the context of Nigayim, maybe going into a home of Nigayim, there may be a similar phenomenon like Tumas Ohel, Arashi, and Baba Basra, Rav Elchanan, discussions about that. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira holds Tikroves Avodas Kochavim, items that are used for Avodah Zarah, also creates Tumas Ohel. Therefore, says the Levush, similar idea in the Pri Chadash, you know how everything became Tameh? The Yavanim were not going around touching every single bit of oil that was there. Not because of the Ram, they wanted to search for money and Mimela became Tameh. Not like the Rambam Primagadim Mahalach, that they are proactively going and they were being Mitameh more intentionally with Sheretz and Nevela. But rather, there was Avodas Kochavim there. And Avodas Kochavim can create Tumas Ohel. And therefore, anything else that's in that room is going to become Tameh. So what about the one Nes? What about the Pach Shemen that's considered to be okay? Doesn't Tumas Ohel go there also? So here, Lechora, you have to say a little bit of a Chiddush. Those of us that have learned Maseches Baba Basra, I'm sure, are holding in this the Sugyas and Daf Chaf about Chalonos and how Tumas Ohel spreads and doesn't spread. I'm sure it's unnecessary to even reference. But nevertheless, there are in the Sugyas of Tumas Ohel, there are ways, if it's not really in the room, there's enough of a separation or a chatzitza, so it won't spread to that location. So lichora, part of it, like Tosfos said, it was in a makom that was tsanua, it may have been halakhically not in the same rishus as tekrovas v'zvachavim, it may have been, and in that sense, it may not have really had it. Now that's a question in general, that you can be in the same, what's called the same rishus for Tumas Ohel, and what's not called the same Rishus, is a little bit complicated. If you are a Boca person, any Boca people? Oh yeah. If you're a Boca person, I believe Rabbi Brander, who was the founding rabbi of Boca Synagogue, I believe the way the shul was constructed was that he's a Kohen, but they wanted to create the shul to structure it in a way where he'd be ki'ilu able to participate and speak at certain Levayas, but without the prohibition of Tumas Kohanim. So they built the shul in a way where there's an area where he could go, which is like a different halakhic rishus, so he'd be able to do it. Similarly, comes up with like, sometimes it's a with like morgue construction. How they build a morgue in certain locations, it may be done in a way so that people are not going to become tameh if you're located in other kinds of locations. So in that sense, that may be pshat in the pach shemen. The problem with this mahalach of saying it was tekrobas of Rosh Kochavim is the Elia Rabba points out, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. We don't paskin that it creates. We don't paskin that it creates tumas oel. We don't paskin that it creates tumas oel. Rather, therefore, says the Elia Rabba, if you look at Tosfos in Chulin, Tosfos in Chulin thinks there isn't that big of a machlokas. And even the Rabbanan agree, it's like a tumma durabanan, it's like a tumma durabanan. And therefore, even they agree, there's some sort of a tumma there. So it's tamei midin tekrovas ozgo chavim. So how did the shemen become tamei? Either because all non-Jews, there's a gezeira durabanan, they're treated like a zav, or it's because they proactively were tamei it by taking tamei items, like an avela, an animal that wasn't shechted, or the shratzim, and having those touch all the things. Or because of tikrovis, there was a vodazara there, and that was able to generate a degree of tumma. It's nice, the question, because it's a good way to remember those three different halachas. One, that non-Jews are considered to be like a vodazara. Two, I guess second one is that nevela and sheretz can be metame straight up. And that three is that tikrovis can be metame potentially even ba'ohel. But now we get to the next question, which is an amazing question. Rav Avram Shor, who is known more for his chassidus, is a huge lamdin and a really impressive baki in the world of achronim. A lot of things. He has a kuntris on Chanukah called kuntris neis hashemen. If you open it up, you will notice, if you're a Rav Avram Shor person, that it looks nothing like halakach v'halibah. It's a lot of real heavy lamdish Torah, achronish Torah, that is there and related to, in many ways, the world of Tumah and Tara in regards to Chanukah. He has on Chumash also, at least one that I have at least, of real sort of Lumdus. So he has this discussion. He has another discussion also, which is a fascinating one. Okay, the Shemen's Tame. Who says you can't use Tame Shemen to light the menorah? The only place in Talmud Bavli where it says you can't use Shemen that's Tame to light the menorah is our Gemara in Shabbos about Chanukah. There is no other Maimer Chazal anywhere that says that you are not allowed to use Tamei Shemen for that at all. Very, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating. So what exactly is the deal? Why aren't we lighting it with Tamei Shemen? Like, why do we assume it? We all assume instinctively that it had to be us. I could rub the story. But like, what's the mucker? What's the source of this? Rav Mishor points out, like, it's not so clear what it is. Not so clear what it is. This person wrote an article. He references it here. In a Bell's Torah Journal, he writes, like, I don't know, I'm looking around, and, like, I don't know what the mucker is. I don't know what the mucker is. Who says it's us, sir? So I'll give you a couple of different ideas. They're all intriguing, but it's all the background for the Chanukah story, meaning minus the fact that it could become Tamei, and that Tamei mattered, the whole thing is, like, what's going on here? So let's go as follows. One mahalach is to argue like this. We are not learning this year halachas about avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. But I believe last year we spoke a little bit about, remember correctly, Hadlakas HaMenorah. How do I relate to Hadlakas HaMenorah? Is Hadlakas HaMenorah what we would call a mitzvah be'alma? It's a mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Or is Hadlakas HaMenorah on the level of what you would call an avoda? Is it Tshuvas Navnei Nezer, Ragachov? Is it almost like your Hakravas HaKarban? It's not on the Mizbeach, but there are things that are like karbanos that are not on the Mizbeach. Like, as an example, the Seir La'azazel may be like a karban, even though with Yom Kippur, the thing you throw off the cliff, no one's offering it on the Mizbeach, but it could still be, it's like a karban. We may have things that are like karbanos, shofar may be like a karban, a lot of other things may be like karbanos. So part of the question is like this. If I learn that the shemen, and different ways of saying it, has real kedushas haguf, and it's really like your makriv a karban. So I understand why you can't use shemen, which is tamei. Because the same way you can't offer a karban, which is tamei, I also can't offer a shemen, which is tamei, on the menorah. So as an example, David Salvechik points out in the Shiurim Maseches Temura, that Rashi and Temura and Daf Yadalad understands that the shemen for the menorah, you would sanctify it by putting it in a kli shares. There were certain kelim in the Beis HaMikdash that you would use to do avoda with. Things that went into a kli shareis were endowed with a certain kind of kedusha. So says David Salvechik, I get it. If you're telling me the shemen is used as like a, it has real kedushas haguf, it's really sanctified, or as Rabbi Shor says in some others, if you're saying it's like nechshav kakravas karbanos, so I understand why it's a problem, why I couldn't use the shemen that's tameh, because I can't be makav a carbon that's tameh. Well, menorah is like a carbon, memela, I can't be makav, I can't use the shemen which is tameh. Parentheses. It's really not so clear why you can't be makar of a carbon, which is tameh. The Mikdash David in Siman Tes Zayin says, I don't know what the makar for that is. Fine. Whatever the makar is for that, though, that would be the makar for here as well. Whatever the makar is, there seems to be two up in the Mikdash David, something is the Torah's Kohanim. Fine, that's not our sugya at all right now, being makar of that. That's one mahalach. One mahalach. A second mahalach is if I learn like the Pre-Chadash, maybe I have another mahalach. What would that mahalach be? Maybe. Even though it's not so clear about the shemen, maybe if it's nechshav kavod zara, to figure out how that would work out, maybe that'd be a difference, but we're not going to go there right now. Why? What else would the problem be? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought the problem was like this. There is a Gemara in Meseches Erevin on Daf Kufdal Amabez. The Gemara tells us in Meseches Erevin that you're not allowed to bring something tameh into the mikdash. There's an iser to bring tameh things into the mikdash. Shadu Chaim Kanievsky, well, mistama if it's usser to bring tameh things into the mikdash, it's also usser to keep tameh things in the mikdash. So what's the iser of lighting a menorah with shemen tameh? It's not because it's a din in hadlakas ha-menorah that it'd be a problem. You have to burn shemen kachim that became tameh that we learned about already this year. So what? Just burn on the menorah. So what's the problem? The problem is that there's an iser to have tameh things in the mikdash. So the same as there's an iser to bring it in. If it is in, there's an iser to keep it there, and you have to bring it out. So what exactly is the iser? Well, the iser is a side iser. Why couldn't we light with the shemen that tameh? Because I got to take it all out. That seems to be the pshat. Not all achronim think that's the most simple idea, because even if there's an iser to bring it in, who says there's an iser to keep it in? Maybe the nature of the iser is an iser of ha'avara, bringing tumma into the mikdash. Who says I'm chayiv to remove tumma from the mikdash? David Salvechik and Shiurim and Tmura and Daf Yadalid discusses that, as do some others, but that's not so clear. There may be another potential reason why it's problematic. There is a halacha found in the Gemaras, in Zvachim, in Menachos, the Gemara in Psachim, which is a din called Mashke Yisrael. When it comes to certain things in the world of Kachim, certain things are only considered to be kosher to use if it's mutter to eat. Then if it's not mutter for us to eat that food, so then it's not mutter for achilas mizbeach, for the Ribbono Shel Olam to have it either. Rashi holds it has to be, Rashi and Zvachim holds, has to be mutter for Yisraelim to eat. Tosfos holds it has to be mutter, as long as it's mutter for Kohanim to eat. But we're talking here about shemen, which is kachim, shenitmeu. That's usher for everyone to eat. No one's allowed to eat it. So says the Or Sameach and Hilchos Lulav, maybe the reason why it's puzzle for the menorah is because it's eino mashke Yisrael. It's not mutter for anyone to eat. Not mutter for anyone to eat. Memel, you're not allowed to use it. Is it so obvious that it applies to menorah? That's a bit of a shaila in some of the achronim. But again, so we saw a couple possibilities thus far. How come I'm not going to be able to be makrivit? How come I'm not going to be able to be makrivit? Sorry, why can't I use it? Maybe because it's like a carbon. Maybe because Mashke Yisrael. Maybe because the Gemara in Erevin, it's also to bring tummy things into the Beis HaMikdash. There is a final mahalach that is really, really fascinating. It's really fascinating, and this actually does tie into Hanukkah. I mean, it all ties into Hanukkah. This is what it is. My wife asked me what I'm speaking about. I told my wife this is what I'm speaking about, and she was like, it's so you. Like, there's nothing like Mahajim in a Mahajim. Like, where's like the nice Hanukkah message? The last 24 minutes. But now we're going to share another idea. Okay. The Eliyahu Rabbah has an interesting Shaila. He says, I don't understand. For a lot of these opinions, the Tumah is only Tumah midrabanan. The mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros is a mitzvah midoraisa. It's a mitzvah midoraisa to light the menorah every day in the Beit HaMikdash. And yet this is only derabanan. So says Eliyahu Rabbah, you're right. Me'ikir hadin, we really should have been mutter. It should have been mutter to light the menorah. V'afta Hadlakas Neiros do'oraisa. Says Eliyahu Rabbah, quoted again, he gets quoted a lot in the Mishnah Berurah, it's a commentary in the Levush. He says, after Lakas Neiros midoraisa. So how come we didn't light it? Mikomakom yesh koach lechachamim la'akor b'shev v'yaltaisa. The Chachamim decided to not be docha and to not let us light the menorah, even though me'ikr hadin, maybe we should have been allowed to. They told us, don't use anything which is tameh. Rav Shor points out, he found in a drasha of Rav Yonatan Eibshitz in the Yaros Dvash, Chelik Aleph, Drush Gimel, we point out something also. He says, where does the Torah say you can't light with something which is shemen? Where does the Torah say that? The answer is, the Torah never says it mefurash. It's all drashas or dine derabban or drashas chachamim. It all comes mikoach, Torah shbal peh. Point out many Yaros Dvash amongst them. Hanukkah, in many ways, some of us referenced this morning from a very different angle, is a yontif which celebrates the idea of Torah Shbal Peh, the koach of the Rabbanan. As some point out, Derech Jush, my Hanukkah, Ditanu Rabbanan. What is Hanukkah all about? That koach of what the Rabbanan teach. Hanukkah is a yontif, mi divrei sofrim. The menorah in Torah Machshava is often associated with Torah Shbal Peh, the world of Chachma, Rosh Shiachim, Yadrim. It's associated with Torah Shbal Peh, with that world of Chachma. That's what it's really all about. Therefore, is it not fascinating that the Ribbono Shel Olam performed the miracle of the Nes of the Pach Shemen, point out some of the Mefarshim. The miracle of the Nes of the Pach Shemen is going to last for 8 days. You know why that miracle was there? Not because of Dinei D'Oraisa, but to protect us from violating Dinei D'Rabbanan. The Ribbono Shel Olam created such a miracle that the Tumma may have only been Tumma D'Rabbanan, because maybe the Gnanjis were only Gezerah of Zav. It's a D'Rabbanan Tumma. And the only reason maybe why we weren't allowed to be makrivit, we couldn't use it for the menorah, may have also been, not mefurish, but the Isser really is. Could be it's all Torah Shbal Peh, some sort of an Isser derabanan. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said, this is a yontif celebrating the power of Torah Shbal Peh and the power of the Rabbanan. And therefore the miracle was done so we wouldn't have to violate any Isurei derabanan. And it was done with Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim. We could have done it to the Rabbah. But the Chachamim said, we're not going to be so mechanis. We're not going to be docha the dindra abanan. So what does Hashem do? I'll give you a pach shemen that can last for 8 days. It's a celebration of the koach of the rabbanan. It's a celebration in many ways of that kind of power. So we learned a lot of different dinim relevant to tuma v'tara as they come up in the sugyas of Hanukkah. Certainly points to a particular idea about where the tuma comes from. Why is it usher to light with tuma? What exactly is going on? So this is a lot of the background. Which is important. Even for that Pnei Yoshua Kasha, which is so famous, Tum Hotu B'tzibor, that question only comes on if the Shemen is Tameh, and if you can't light Lechadchila with that which is Tameh. Then I get to the question of, okay, Tum Hotu B'tzibor. But at minimum, we saw hopefully some good insight in terms of what is going on here. Have a wonderful rest of your night.